chance at risk getting knocked out.
It's time for your number one source for combat sports.
How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
It is all over.
Bang! Right on the jaw.
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
It landed shin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Testies, 1, 2, 3. What's up? It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Welcome in the final show of the year, I would guess, right?
Yeah, because apparently.
The first of the year is Wednesday, I believe. Is it Wednesday?
Yep. Tuesday night, New Year's Eve. What are you doing? Doing
New Year's
exciting?
Eve, staying home and drinking some Welch's sparkling grape juice.
Good for,
for
you.
That ass.
Like with what?
Oh, just bubbles.
Just
I like the bubbles.
Just bubbles.
It's Ozone here alongside T-Mac, Thomas McCullough.
Yes.
And our esteemed engineer and colleague, Tim Rayner. Tim, very popular with the studio
audience. Hold on. Did I hear a Let's Go Tim? I swear I heard a Let's Go Tim that time.
I think you did, yeah.
Oh my!
Well, it only makes sense.
Did you actually have that recorded?
No, I. this is just put in here. So I use it.
Big,
but they know.
Yeah,
big favorite of the in studio crowd, and you can see them when the camera pans over the studio audience on your enhanced radio. Welcome to Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. we got a lot to talk about. It was a huge night to end the year as far as UFC events are concerned. Mixed martial art at highest level. Mm-hmm. A couple of championship fights. The championship did not change hands in either case, but there was some devastating news and some incredible action last night's UFC 168. We'll do some headlines in the first segment. Second segment, we'll discuss in-depth review of and comment on breakdown of UFC 168.
Mm-hmm.
And in third segment, I don't know, maybe some top news that's happened over the 2013.
Moments, fights,
great
things
moments.
Like that. Yeah.
We'll give out our fight show awards,
of
as
course.
Far as you know.
Yep.
Biggest a-hole, you know, best comeback. Best leg, best broken leg,
yeah,
all that
best
stuff.
Best broken leg during the second
oh my
round
God. We'll
of
get into
title
it, but
fight.
Let's start some headline activity, T-Mac.
All right, so first headline. Yes.
Nice.
Dana White on UFC 168's Bobby Volker. Quote, he's 0-3 and he's not going anywhere.
Wow.
So Dana White last night was asked about Bobby Volker because, he's 0-3 technically. In the
yeah,
UFC.
That's his record.
Well,
in the UFC, all right, he had a great run in Strikeforce. The UFC bought Strikeforce, bought several of the fighters over. Bobby Volker was one of them. Kansas City native, of course, been a guest on our show many times. Welterweight, 170 pounds, tough as they come.
Yeah.
No one is more game than Bobby Volker, but his first loss was a bullcrap robbery in Canada to a Canadian named Patrick Cote. The decision should have gone Bobby's way, and I'm speaking purely objectively.
Definitely.
In the second fight, obviously, he took it on 2 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. Second UFC fight, he took it on 2 weeks' notice against a top 10 contender who's now fighting for the title in Robbie Lawler and then lost in the second round there. Now lost a bloody mess against this hot dog last night, UFC 168. Your comments.
So what he said, what Dana White said is he's 0-3 and he's not going anywhere. He took the Robbie Lawler fight on short notice, and tonight he was busted up and kept moving forward. Keeps trying to win, and he goes on to later say, we don't cut guys like that. Because of that will to win, the always, trying to get the W. And that's what he did, even when he got
was
cut.
Absolutely.
And the doctor was like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, I'm fine. Let me go. Like, and he didn't sit in between the second and third round. You could tell the urgency he had to get the win. He didn't give up and just go, okay, well,
No, always thought he had a chance to win.
Right.
And marched forward through a mask of blood. I mean, you don't see the claret flowing quite that freely in most cuts. I mean, damn. Bobby Volker, I mean, that's terrific news. He's still in the UFC. I love that quote, though, too. Dana White said that.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Volker's 0-3, and he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. I would hope that he would get another Patrick Cote kind of fight where it's a good name, but a guy that's kind of just good. You know what I mean? Because Patrick Cote has heavy hands, obviously, but he's not a great boxer. He doesn't have great wrestling. He doesn't have great jiu-jitsu, but he could beat you. And I think that's those type of fights are really good for Bobby. Those tough, well-rounded guys, but not really skilled at everything. Because last night, well, I mean, he's not. I mean, they are. Well, hold on, they are obviously. If you're in the UFC, but they're not known for one specific skill. They're just kind of good.
I would like to see Bobby Volker's next opponent be warm and breathing. That's it. I just want to see him get a win in the UFC and then continue his career in the UFC.
Yeah. So I don't know when he'll get another fight, but definitely he does have another fight. So that's good because. Like I said, I still think he won that Cote fight, so he deserves
screw job.
And he went 4-1 in Strikeforce. So you know,
and that one he lost was a bull crap. The guy pretended he got poked in the eye.
Yeah,
and then,
so it was really
so
5-0.
Volker beat that guy two more times in the second round. So headlines with T-Mac. Let's show live.
So the next one is the following statement from the UFC regarding the infamous broken leg from Anderson Silva. It says, quote, following... That was actually in that, too.
Yeah, that's thing. Audio from the fight.
Yeah. Following Saturday night's... Saturday evening's UFC 168 main event, former champion Anderson Silva was taken to a local Las Vegas hospital where he underwent surgery to repair a broken left leg. The successful surgery performed by Dr. Steve Sanders, the UFC orthopedic surgeon... they put a rod in Anderson's left tibia, and they stabilized him, and he will be leaving tonight. Tonight is Sunday.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Leaving tonight. They said, though, he is extremely sad. They said his spirits are just down.
He's devastated.
Yeah. And it's not because of the broken leg, they're saying. They're saying because of his performance leading up to it.
He was taking a bit of an ass with him.
Well, he got knocked out in the first round. I mean, you know, he was able to recover, but he got knocked out in the clinch. I would never have thought... You know, the first fight with Anderson and Chris Weidman, you kind of always thought, like, eventually one of these guys is going to catch him if he keeps clowning around. What I never, ever, ever thought in a million years is that Anderson's going to have someone in the Muay Thai clinch and they're going to knock
rocked.
Him out. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too. It's a weird deal. Like, a guy that's a superstar, unbeatable, you know, mentioned among the greatest of all time, it's almost like once they lose... Then they're like,
they can't get back.
A lot more beatable, like
right.
Fedor.
Yeah.
Fedor was the greatest thing since sliced wheat toast.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and he comes and he loses to Verdum. And okay, well, it's a fluke.
Yeah,
triangle. And he got caught, and he wasn't. You know,
and then
so
Big
that was
Foot
a fluke.
And
then,
his ass.
And then he gets knocked. And then he gets knocked out by you know Dan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, his last fight was. You know, overseas, and he beat a guy who did he beat, Monson or somebody like that?
Yeah.
He beat a guy who was, you know, passive or never really at his level, but it's like they become eminently more beatable.
Yeah.
You know, once they lose. And he didn't look good last night, Anderson, of course. I mean.
Yeah, you know, the takedown is something where that happens a lot in his fights. He's not the greatest at takedown defense. I mean, he's got...
But he doesn't even really try.
Right, I mean, yeah. He just tries to work for a submission. If that doesn't happen, then he's moving on to either getting back up or something else. The thing that I was most shocked about, besides the broken leg, obviously, was that he got rocked in his Muay Thai clinch. You know, that was used so amazingly against Rich Franklin, against Chris Lieben, against...
No, that's
I mean, so
that's
many
part
other
of
guys.
His repertoire.
Yeah, that's
the
his
plum,
thing.
The Thai plum, the
right.
clinch, man, and whipping ass from that position. And yeah, and he gets rocked in his own you know, where he's most comfortable, really.
Right, and that was the part where I thought, wow, that's something big. And leading up to that fight, Travis Luter, who fought Anderson Silva, said he thinks maybe Anderson's chin is gone because he mentioned in the first Chael fight how many shots that were dropping Anderson that didn't really look like power punches, and he was going to say that the shot where Chris Weidman knocked out Anderson really wasn't a power strike. It was more of a, you know,
normal kind of an incidental.
Yeah. And so know, he's thinking
not a lot
that
of power behind
right
it.
He's thinking that Anderson's chin may be gone.
Well,
so
and that could be too. Now the thing with chins, you know, if a guy takes a terrible, like at the end of his career, Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of happened with his chin was gone. I mean, yeah, but that happened after a bunch of a few knockouts. He lost five of his last six fights, and three of the last three were bad knockouts. But so his chin at some point is gone. But that's owing to a previous knockout. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened to Anderson Silva, or has he not been hit clean enough to really have that chin tested? Come on,
that's true. But you know, I can remember there's videos of like where he fought Dan Henderson, and Dan Henderson was throwing rights like, you know, Dan Henderson does, and he was taking it and being okay. And, you know, Chael even, you know, so I don't know. It's interesting to see. But like I said, the most shocking thing for me was Anderson and getting dropped from being in his own Muay Thai clinch. Yeah. Anyhow, going back to the broken leg, it is said it was a successful surgery, and he is out 3 to 6 months. So
at the very minimum, if he's even ever comes back at all. And you were talking last week, we were talking about Roy Jones Jr. I know you got some news on him too, but I didn't have his record in front of me, but I looked at it because I said it doesn't matter if Anderson wins this fight, really. Mm-hmm. They can still have a matchup, a nice marquee matchup. Well, obviously that's going to be in jeopardy with his recovery time from the broken leg, Anderson Silva. But Roy Jones Jr., I had mentioned he lost to a guy named Danny Green. Danny Green knocked him out in one round, and he had a rematch set up with Bernard Hopkins. They'd fought a dozen or 15 years before, and Jones got the decision in the 90s. But the next fight for Roy Jones Jr. was Bernard Hopkins, a rematch. Mm-hmm. Hopkins won that rematch and decision. But the point is, I mean, it does, I guess, knock some of the luster off of a marquee matchup. But I think really people want to see, you know, people want to see big stars. You know, there's a little bump in the road along the way and stuff. You want to see big stars in a match fight, you know, especially guys from different sports, MMA versus boxing. But what's the latest on Roy Jones?
Well, with Roy Jones wanting to fight Anderson Silva, and obviously Anderson Silva, in my opinion, probably won't be back because of that injury at 38 years old. Roy Jones says he wants a boxing match with retired UFC vet Nick Diaz. Could you imagine that?
I want to see that way more than I want to see Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva would be interesting because he could clown too, but Nick Diaz clowns, but in a way of like
he's
irritating you. You know what I mean? He'd put the hands up. I think he'd be a significant underdog against Roy Jones Jr.
Of course.
But you know, in a pure boxing, I think he would stand a little bit better chance than Anderson because of how he fights. Just multiple punches, always in your face, nothing really is bothering you, but you can't really do anything to me kind of thing.
I think he's got a better beard than Anderson does.
Yeah.
And he's just a more rugged all-around dude. Mm-hmm. But I think even if they fought, and of course you'd give the edge to Roy Jones Jr., who I think will be 44 next month, 45 maybe even. I mean, he's getting up there.
Yeah.
But to still be fighting. But I think, yes, you got the advantage has to go to Roy Jones Jr., but no matter how badly Nick Diaz was taking an ass whipping, he wouldn't stop talking,
right,
and he wouldn't stop coming forward.
Yeah.
It would just be awesome. I want to see that.
And
fight.
The hype that he could generate just from his interviews. I imagine there'd be a middle finger at the press conference. I imagine it'd be like, you don't know what my struggle is. You know, all of just the craziness of Nick Diaz. And like, the absurd stuff he would end up saying. You know, I bet you he'd be like, I don't like these boxing things. Over in MMA, they just handle things better. You know what I mean? Like, I bet you he just brings up every crazy thing.
And if he was taking a terrible ass whip, and he might even lock him into a guillotine or something. I mean, that would be...
Yeah, they lock up, and the ref tries to separate him. He throws on a guillotine, like, pulls off the glove.
Yeah,
I mean, that's extreme.
I would love it. I can't think of any other fight I want to see more than that.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Nick Diaz.
Hell no. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We've got some headline activity continuing, T-Mac.
Well,
newsflash, sweet daddy.
I like that. Yeah. Yes, I do like that. This is news, but it kind of happens with every Ronda Rousey fight. But Chris Cyborg, always trying to be relevant in women's MMA,
Cyborgata,
says, I'm coming for you, Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm, but I'm not going to fight you at 135, even though you're the champion.
Yeah. So she calls out Ronda again. I don't know. Do you think this fight will ever happen? Is this going to be a Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao thing?
No, I don't think it's going to happen, certainly not anytime soon, because, first of all, Cyborg is not in the UFC.
Right.
And I think there's enough of available contenders, especially if Ronda wants to keep active. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to have to clean out the division, so to speak, which I don't think is going to be very difficult for her. She's a dominant, fearsome force. Ronda Rousey, dang. We'll get into it in the next segment, breaking down the UFC 168. Anything else for headline activity?
That's it. Just, you know, the Cyborg, Ronda thing, Roy Jones and Nick Diaz. Obviously, the update on Nick Diaz with the – or not Nick Diaz, but Anderson Silva being out 3 to 6 months, they say, for the leg break. So,
oh, man. That's such a
shame. And Bobby Volker still getting another fight, so
yes.
That's good. Yeah, good.
Vicious Bobby Volker. Outstanding performance and a losing effort, but my God, you never seen somebody fight like he does,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, coming forward all the time. Could you imagine
– game as they come.
God, could you imagine – you know, we know how busy he is, and he's even said it on our show. Could you imagine – a full-time training camp with Bobby Volker. That would just be insane.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. Yep. So headlines, just continuing very quickly. Bigfoot Silva, we mentioned last week, he got popped after, I mean, a hell of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, against
– fight of the year against
Mark
Hunt.
Mark Hunt. And apparently he was injecting steroids directly into his head. It's usually into your buttocks.
Yeah.
This is into his head, obviously, with the size of that head. Was it his head, or what was the deal?
Yeah, I think it was. That's what they said, but, I mean, geez.
Right. Jason High is fighting UFC Fight Night 35, January 15th, Duluth, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And,
come on.
Yeah, Georgia, on my mind. Georgia. Baby, Georgia. I was born in the state of Georgia. Come on. Chattahoochee County. Jason High is fighting, I guess it's Benail Dariush.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting him January 15th, Duluth, Georgia, UFC Fight Night 35. That's only just a couple of weeks away. We've got to get Jason on talk about that matchup. He's keeping busy in the UFC.
He is. That's what I was going to say. He's really staying active after kind of a long layoff he had once he got into the UFC. Man, he's, you know, right on it. Every 3 months, it feels like he's getting back in there.
He's keeping busy whooping that ass.
Yes.
And we'll talk to Jason High soon.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we'll take a break and come back. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Hola, soy Tonga y estás escuchando Fight Your Life on Sport Radio 102.5 The Fan.
¡Uy!
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through. The Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Experts in the business of beatdowns. Back to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Yes, indeed. Feed the needy. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Final show of
2013.
2013, the year of our Lord. Come on. It's December 29th, I believe. Man, just a couple of days away from party. I said hell no. So it's UFC 168 last night took place. Two title matches.
Mm-hmm.
The title did not change hands. I was looking at the crowd before we get into the results and our analysis thereof.
Who'd you notice?
I noticed Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm. Barkley,
the
terrible,
the great superstar soccer player from Brazil, retired now. Ronaldo
looking a little fat.
Looked goofy and fat.
Yeah, he looked fat.
I was like, who? He looked goofy,
he's fat,
and fat.
Yeah,
great. One of the greatest soccer players of all time.
Fat.
But yep. Boy, he stopped running around that field, and now he looks goofy and fat. Roy Jones Jr. Mm-hmm. was also in attendance wearing a horrible hoodie. It looked like a child's camouflage pajamas. And he thought that looked okay.
He thought it was presentable.
It looked ridiculous. Mike Tyson, on the other hand, looking very dapper.
Mm-hmm.
Had a nice-looking checked sport coat with a pocket square. Of course,
face
a collared shirt. face tattoo, looking sharp, hairline, you know, neatly aligned, and just he looked good, man. He looked cool and happy, and he's a big MMA fan. Also, I saw Chuck Zito.
Yeah, with the nice,
with terrible looking dyed mustache. He's got to be 60 something now, but he's a he was a former
mustache.
Hell's Angel. Done some acting. He beat up Jean-Claude Van Damme in a street fight. And he used to have a radio show on satellite radio. He used to be a frequent guest.
I think he's on
Howard
Sons
Stern.
Of Anarchy now.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he still does some acting and stuff. And he's been, I mean, he was a real legitimate Hell's Angel. But he was talking about, he had a radio show on satellite radio for a while. And it was Chuck Zito. And he's a tough guy from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's a tough guy. He's probably close, about 60 years old. Dyes his hair. But he's been in his share of scrapes. He's been done some jail time. He's beat some ass. And he's a tough guy. He was talking about the UFC, and so he's got some lackeys in there with him.
And he's always he's one of the regulars as far as celebrities.
Well,
because
when he was doing, he owns the streets. You know, when he was doing, you know, I can
remember him being there in like the UFC 60s.
He's been around the game, and he's a tough guy,
Chuck Liddell
right?
Time. Yeah.
So Chuck Zito's in there, but he was talking about, he was analyzing one of the previous UFCs on his radio show. He's got these lackeys in there with him. He's talking about they don't throw no hands. They'll tell you, how would you do in there, Chuck? If you were in there, I bet you'd kick somebody's ass. Oh, yeah, of course. They don't throw no hands. I go in there, you know, I ping, a boom, bada ping. They don't throw no hands. Yeah, so Chuck Zito was in the crowd with the dyed mustache. Results, UFC 168, T-Mac, come
on. Yeah, we're going to start from the bottom, and then we're going to go to the main event. So the first fight, these aired on the YouTube channel. The UFC YouTube channel that you can watch there. We had Robbie Peralta defeat Esteban Pena. I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah.
By knockout, punches third round early in the third.
Right.
Really good fight. Really good fight. Ended with a knockout, which is always good. Then we have the Bobby Volker fight, which we already talked about. So,
well,
enjoying
he went the
distance.
Chips. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. This thing on, but no, he went the distance, Bobby Volker, but I don't think anybody's ever gone the distance with that dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was in the finale of the Ultimate Fighter Brazil of the last season, lost to Luis Santos, which Santos is an amazing jiu-jitsu player. I think it was submission how he lost. So there's no shame in that loss. And like we were already talking about, Bobby Volker just kept coming forward and pressing the action. Just unfortunately, he couldn't put together his punches. It was always like one punch. And then it was stopping. One punch. He couldn't put together a 1-2 or get some real sustainable offense. It was always just one, and then the guy would come back, or William would come back, and just pop, 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 you know, so.
Yeah, well, it's still, Bobby Volker's still in the UFC.
Yep, definitely.
Thank God.
And then we get to the prelims that were on Fox Sports 1. John Howard defeated Sair the Great. The moment of the fight actually came from Sair. He farted. Did you hear about that?
No. Damn it.
He farted.
Have audio of that?
No. But
damn.
He farted. He was on. I laughed really hard.
Was it like a north-south situation?
No. He was
that's
just,
unfortunate.
Yeah. It was just he was in a guard. And it was so funny. But John Howard looked good. I mean, that's a really good win for John Howard because he's kind of one of those guys that kind of flounders in the UFC. Like one loss and he might be out. You know, he has to get three more wins to get back in. He's kind of one of those guys. So to defeat Sair in convincing unanimous decision, 30-27 on all three cards.
It's good that he beat him. The guy's in there farting on him. Jesus, man, I missed that.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank God I have it on tape.
Yep. And then we got Dennis Seaver defeating Manny Gambarian. Dennis Seaver looked really good. I thought he used really good
down
kicks.
Down at 45 now?
Yeah, definitely. Down to 45.
No.
Manny's a hard matchup, I feel, for anyone because he's just like a little brick that just keeps coming forward and you don't really know what to do. And you know, but Dennis had really, really great kicks, had a lot of good offense, and took the decision. He had 29-28 on all three scorecards. And then as we move on, Michael Johnson.
Yes.
Former Fight Show Live regular from Springfield, now down in Boca Raton with the Black Zillions.
And he's the Ultimate Fighter former contestant.
Yeah. Yep. And
were you trying to think what season it was?
Yeah, it was. And then I kind of gave up on it. I was like, I don't want to. There's too many numbers now.
Yeah.
I think it was 15 if I'm just off the top of my head. Anyhow, Michael Johnson defeated Gleison Tibau by knockout punches in the second round. That was a really good one because Gleison kept on charging forward, and Michael Johnson just landed that one clean shot, hit him kind of in the ear, area.
Yeah, well, it was sort of a grazing left.
Yeah.
But that dropped him.
Mm-hmm.
And T-Bow's pretty big dude for
He's
that weight
huge.
Class too. Very muscular.
Yeah.
But then once he got on the ground, Michael Johnson just drilled him.
Yeah. He landed.
Springfield native Michael Johnson looking great last night.
Yeah. As soon as Gleason fell, that first punch, that's what knocked him out. I thought, like, as soon as he fell, then he landed that first one, then he was. You know, eyes rolling in the back of the head. He was unconscious. But good win for Michael Johnson. You know, he's looking good lately. Big wins over a lot of good competition, like Joe Lozon and stuff like that. So looking great. Hopefully we get to see. He's active as well. It seems like he's on every third card of the year.
Yeah.
Next, we have Uriah Hall defeats Chris Lieben by stoppage after Lieben refused to go in the second round, which who would have ever thought Chris Lieben would be like, nah, I don't want to. I'm done.
I think he's just done with the with fighting.
Yeah,
I
mean, that was his 22nd UFC fight.
He said I'm done. I think they said that he asked if he'd been knocked out.
Yeah, the first question he asked. So the round ends, and he looks at I believe it was the ref, or maybe it was the inspector taking him to the corner. But he goes, "Did you guys stop it?" Like, no, we got the next one. And then he sat and he's like, no, I'm done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I think it's just been so many wars that he's like, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
I mean, there comes a time. I mean, some people it happens when they're sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
But some guys, it's right. You know, I think he's had enough of all the wars, it seems like.
Kind of like when we were talking to Craig Cummings and he realized,
he couldn't beat Mikkel Kessler.
Yeah. And he's like, man, this.
So I never felt like that. I always thought I had a chance to win. And he's just like, he was during a knockdown.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't beat this guy.
Right. Maybe that's what Chris Lieben was thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, 22 UFC fights,
mm-hmm.
that takes a toll on your body. So
he's taking so much damage. I mean, God, he's so tough. But, I just think he's like, you know what, I know my body and I know my mind. And
I thought it was
I
a
don't
little...
want no mo.
Yeah, and Uriah Hall, good for him to get a win because he's one of those guys where everyone sees all the potential
Didn't
in the
Nate
world.
I'd say that, well, there's walking papers involved here. Pinks, you punk.
Yeah.
Pink slips, ownership papers. No, but that means you're leaving the promotion if you lose. So no
good,
more Chris Lieben, unfortunately.
Right, so good for Uriah Hall to get that win.
One of my favorites. I know he's a wacko, but he's one of my favorites.
He is a little wacko, that's definitely for sure. and then we have Dustin Poirier, who defeated Diego Brando, who came in 8 pounds overweight.
Big fan of Poirier. Always rooting for him.
Yeah,
Louisiana
Dustin Poirier.
Native.
In that Fightville documentary.
Yeah, that's great. It shows before he got signed to the UFC. Mm-hmm. And, man, knockout over was it Diego Brandão.
Diego Brandão.
Comes out 8 pounds over the 45 weight limit. You could be 146. So he's 7 pounds over that and unapologetic. Now, he gives up 25% of his purse, I believe, which is great. Mm-hmm. He should give it all up.
Right.
But, Dustin Poirier, regardless of the money coming out of his purse, he took it out of his ass in the first round. It was awesome.
Well, and he was pissed at the weigh-ins, too, yelling at him. Now, Dustin has said that, I guess, Diego said to him, I'll cut your throat. So maybe that's what made him mad. And that would make anyone mad, I would think. But Dustin Poirier, man, came in and he beat him up. So he beat him up like, you know, back in elementary or maybe high school when like
headlock activity.
Well, no, like when
I won most of my fights and lost too.
Well, when one kid is like, you know, taking the other kid's lunch money, you know what I mean? Like it was like one of those ass whippings where it's like, damn, like he must have did something that we're not aware of.
Yeah,
so,
drove him against the fence, just jumped on him and beat his ass.
Yes.
It was nice.
Yep. And next on the card, we had Jim Miller defeat Fabricio Camones by submission armbar.
Yeah.
It didn't even look like a
he had it even locked
in. Yeah, an extended armbar. But the first thing that he did.
Because Camones, whatever his name, he was standing.
Yeah, and he had a black belt. He had Hoyler Gracie in his corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a top-level black belt. And it was interesting because as soon as Jim Miller released the hold, the first thing Diego did was grab his arm. You know what I mean? Or Fabricio, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Poirier fight still. But the first thing he did was grab his arm. So maybe it was a lot tighter than we thought. But Jim Miller, that's a second top-level black belt that he's submitted. He defeated Charles Oliveira a few years back, and then he got last night's submission.
Jim Miller's a bad dude. He's one of those guys. I think some of these Brazilian, when they got this high-level black belt activity, I think they underestimate these white boys or some of these American boys,
that
didn't grow up with it.
Right.
You know? So.
And Jim Miller, man, has proven that his jiu-jitsu is nothing to mess with. And then we had a really fast, interesting fight. It was a number one contender, I think. Well, the winner is going to get Fabricio Werdum now. And Travis Brown.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Defeated Josh Barnett. And in a position where the top guy, like for Werdum, I think to beat Travis Brown, he's going to have to take him down. right? So I think he's going to be in that spot that Josh Barnett was in, maybe not on his knees. You know.
Well, it's pretty dangerous trying to take Travis Brown down. He's 6'7". Mm-hmm. He's an absolute monster. Only lost once, and that was because of a knee injury. He lost against Bigfoot Silva, I believe.
Yep.
But when you try to take someone down and your head is on the outside, it's there for the taking. And he just went nuts with those elbows.
Yeah, and so that's the thing that I think is interesting about him going forward is now the Cain Velasquez wrestler or the submission guys like Fabricio Werdum, if they're going to have to take him down, they might get stuck in that position, and you know that that's going to be a thought in their head of, man, this guy's going to rain some elbows down on my
Travis
head.
Brown might be the future of the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. What else we got? So we're going to main event activity now?
Co-main event.
Ronda Rousey, the defending bantamweight champion, walks into Joan Jett's bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite of mine, Joni Jett. And then Jean LaBelle is
judo.
Gene is in the corner.
Always.
Hell no, he's only about 95.
He's one of the best. I like Judo Gene, and he's always in the corner of Ronda Rousey, and always wearing whatever the fight. It's always weird to see him in like the fight shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like no, you shouldn't.
He's
be.
An old man, right. Like dressed. Yeah.
Yeah, dressed like a
with like carpenter shorts and
exactly.
And Vans skateboarding shoes. Hat on backwards, cocked to the side.
Yeah, it was weird to see, but what was interesting about the fight was Misha was able to take her to the third round, and I thought Misha won the stand-up. This is what I thought about the fight. Misha would land good, solid shots on Ronda, and Ronda didn't look out of her element, but Misha was landing all these solid shots. And then go for a takedown, and Ronda was like,
here's a judo hip toss.
Yeah, here's a flip. And Misha did take her down a couple times, but it felt like every takedown that she attempted, she ended up getting flipped by Ronda. And I was like, why is your corner telling you to continue doing that? Just stand
with
her. Hit her. Yeah.
She's better standing up than Ronda Rousey is.
Yeah, and what I also thought was interesting is every time they were grappling, it seemed like Ronda was trying to get back to the feet. It was like they were doing...
The opposite of what their strengths are.
Right. It was so weird. But Ronda got that arm bar in the third round, and then Misha tried to shake her hand around and said, I ain't doing
said,
that.
Said, hell no, you insulted my family. Yep. I don't know if she means her mother or
well,
her training partners.
I think it's she considers Edmund and all of those training guys like her family. And so I think that's what she was talking about because, Misha did the mocking of Edmund and with the eyebrow thing
and
all that stuff during the season.
Well,
so.
Either way, I mean, it's kind of I think it only strengthens her position as a superstar because you want to see her get beat or you want to see her beat somebody's
ass,
Ronda Rousey. But Misha Tate did as good as she could have done, I believe. I don't think she was going to beat Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. And Ronda Rousey, I mean, if you think about it, I was talking to Derek Ripley about it, the professor,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, I said, why do you think so? He goes, think she's going to win? He goes, because it's a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And really it is. I mean, if you think about it, they're women. So there's going to be some sort of a killer instinct. But a woman to go in there, it's one thing if it's the hot dog with the knee bars. Just got kicked out. He does the knee bars, doesn't let go. Paul Harris.
Husamar Paul Harris.
Husamar Paul Harris. So, it's one thing to be nasty like that.
Right.
And you're a dude.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing. But for a woman to have no... look at the sexist or whatever. Bull crap. It's the gentler sex, women.
Yeah.
Have a woman who have no hesitation about breaking someone's arm backwards.
Yeah.
There's no hesitation. You don't even think twice about it.
Definitely.
So she's a dangerous individual.
Oh, yeah. Her mean mug just walking to the cage is intimidating. Oh. You know what I mean? She's good.
But it's kind of sexy. I think it is. I mean, but she's a badass. No question about it. She can be tough to beat. Carmouche threw everything she had at her and had her the most vulnerable. We saw still lost in the first round with an iron bar, but had her, on her back
rear
and
choke.
Rear naked activity. Yeah. And then Misha Tate looked great. I mean, first person to ever take her out of the first round. Looked great. Did as best as she could have done. Still lost by armbar.
Yep. And then now Ronda Rousey already has her next fight lined up at UFC 170. It's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Sarah McMahon. So that'll be
two
good.
Olympic medalists.
You're right.
One
exactly.
In judo, one in wrestling.
Right. So we'll be, and that's where I think it'll be interesting because maybe those, the ground games of both fighters will cancel each other out and we're going to start to see a stand-up fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't see how Ronda could get Sarah McMahon down. Not saying she can't, But
right.
Sarah McMahon's an Olympic wrestler.
Intriguing matchup. Yeah, looking so, forward. That's UFC 170.
Yeah, that's UFC 170 in March. And the only reason I think that Sarah got the fight before Kat Zingano is Kat's still hurt. So once right. Kat does get healed up, I think that will be Kat's first fight as whoever the title holder is. But for March, it's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Sarah McMahon at UFC 170.
Can't wait to see that one.
Going to be a good one.
Wonder what's next with Misha Tate, too. All right, the main event, Chris Weidman, still the middleweight champion.
Check that leg
after,
kick.
After he checked a leg kick by Anderson Silva, and Anderson Silva, that's actual audio from the fight, yep. broke his leg in two.
Oh, my God. And the sound of it was so...
Just that, like that.
That was in... It was insane. It was one of those moments where, you know, my mom always brings up with injuries. She always brings up the Joe Theismann breaking his leg.
There it is.
And that's for our sport. I think mm-hmm. that now Corey Hills was really bad too. But Corey Hill, in the grand scheme of things, and no offense to Corey Hill, but Corey Hill's no Anderson Silva. You know what I mean? This is the main event
right.
of the biggest pay per view for UFC
championship fight.
Championship
against
fight.
A guy a lot of people think is the best ever.
Right. And so that's going to be, I think, the moment for me where it's like, I remember where I was. You know what I mean? When I saw the leg break of Anderson Silva.
It's
and,
horrible.
And being 38 years old, you know, we said how doctors say he'll be back in 3 to 6 months. I don't. 38 years old.
You're going to, it's going to take longer to heal.
Yep. I think.
I mean, everything about it is terrible.
I think it would be amazing. And if he does decide to come back, credit to him, and I'll be there watching.
Cause, I hope so. I hope yeah, the best for him. My God, love watching the guy fight.
But I don't see him coming
it's
back.
It's absolutely horrific, and it's just a damn shame. Yep. But he wasn't looking good anyway in that
right.
fight. So
yeah,
he did. Looked like Weidman had the upper hand.
Yeah, I mean, we say that, but that fight easily could have went the way of Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva won.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? His jiu-jitsu is really, really high level, but so is Chris Weidman. So, it's all these what-ifs, which is I feel really interesting about Anderson Silva because his two losses in the UFC are to Chris Weidman, but there's always these excuses, right? So, like, when Chuck Liddell lost to Rashad Evans, right, that was a knockout. Like, hey, he got caught, right?
Yeah.
But with the first loss to Chris Weidman for Anderson Silva, oh, if he didn't play around.
He would have been clowning.
If he
wouldn't
have been
clowning,
he wouldn't. Yeah, he wouldn't. And this one, it's going to be like, oh, it's a freak injury. If he didn't break his leg, he would have caught him on something. So Anderson's losses are debatable, so I find that interesting. But the next person for Chris Weidman is going to be Vitor Belfort. And Vitor, I thought it was interesting, said, I'll fight him in any country. Kind of. Hey, look, I don't have to go to Brazil since, you know, they're a little lenient on that.
On the testing, yeah.
On the testing over there. So he said he'll fight him anywhere. That'll be an interesting fight. People are thinking that Vitor is going to be the favorite going into that, which I find really interesting, too, because Chris Weidman beat Anderson Silva.
Twice. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. That'll be an interesting matchup. Been a fan mm-hmm. of Vitor Belfort since he was a boy of 19.
Yep.
It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5. The Fan will come back and wrap things up for the year 2013. And we'll preview some upcoming events. That's next on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5. The Fan.
Touch that dial and we'll kick your ass. You're tuned in to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The thing you ever want.
What was that?
Yeah, just say whatever you want.
Boobies.
Hey, it's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. You know what kind of a bee produces milk? A booby. Hell no. It's Fight Show Live. Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Year end
show. And let's see. Let's let this day in fight history.
Yeah, let's get into that. We'll
do a little of that.
Educate your ass.
Jess Willard, former heavyweight champion of the world. At the time, he was the biggest heavyweight champion. He was like almost 6'7". He was heavyweight champion from 1915 to 1919 when he got his ass handed to him 4th of July. I believe it was in Toledo, Ohio, against Jack Dempsey. There is video of that fight. It's amazing to watch. 1919, to watch Dempsey tear into his ass. I mean, he broke ribs, knocked out teeth, broke orbital bones. But Jess Willard, the former heavyweight champion, who beat Jack Johnson for the title, the first black heavyweight champion, born this day, 1881, in Pottawatomie, Kansas. The Pottawatomie Giant, Jess Willard, former heavyweight champion in boxing, born this day, 1881. In 2007, it was UFC 79, GSP versus Matt Hughes. Excuse me, three. That was the rubber match.
And the fight of the night was one of my favorite fights of all time, Chuck Liddell versus Vanderlei Silva.
Chuck Liddell versus Vanderlei Silva. The Hughes match ended in a submission armbar, verbal submission.
Yes, that made me
Matt
happy.
Matt Hughes screamed out in pain. The fight was stopped. But Chuck Liddell in a fantastic fight against Vanderlei Silva. They beat the hell out of each other. That was in the Mandalay Bay back in 2007, this day in fight history, UFC 79. Mm-hmm. I think it's 2012. Right. I believe UFC 155.
That would make sense.
That would be MGM Grand. We're talking Dos Santos versus Velasquez too.
Hey man, why you gotta bring that up? Why you gotta
bring
that?
Velasquez regained the title.
I know Dos Santos is my guy. Why you gotta bring that up? Come on.
Well, it's part of history. This day in fight history, 2012. All right, let's see. A little boxing activity.
Yeah,
and we don't have time to get into too much of it, but top boxing heavyweights to watch: Deontay Wilder. This hot dog is 30-0 with 30 knockouts.
That's
Has he fought anybody? Not really, but still, he's got 30 fights, 30 knockouts, 6'7". They're talking about him matching up with Tyson Fury, who's about 6'9", and a loudmouth Brit.
And boxes weird. He throws his punches from his hips. And he's
a big,
ugly,
goofy, awkward bastard. But Deontay Wilder, they won't fight each other next, but they will be fighting soon because they're already ramping up the Twitter talk and busting each other's chops there. But Chris Areola, of course, the Mexican-American, will fight in a rematch, Bermain Stiverne, for the WBC title vacated by Vitaly Klitschko, who has retired this month to go into politics and run for president of the Ukraine, apparently.
Yeah, he said, see ya.
But Vladimir Klitschko remains the heavyweight champion. I mean, of course, there's his brother had a belt. Now someone else is going to get that belt in the meantime. I always thought it was stupid that the brothers had the belt. And Klitschko was like, I am very proud that my brother, and that's more of a Middle Eastern activity. I'm trying to do the Russian. But he says he's very proud that he and his brother are heavyweight champions at the same time, as if that was something to be proud of.
Yeah, fight each other. How about that?
Yeah, and they would never do that. So Klitschko has the WBA belt, the IBF, and the Ring Magazine belt, which is really the if you want to know who the champion is, Ring Magazine, because their ratings are fair and intelligent, intelligently thought out in the way they compile those. But Vladimir Klitschko is a heavyweight champion. Watch for Deontay Wilder, Chris Areola, and Tyson Fury in the coming year in heavyweight boxing. All right, now go ahead, T-Mac. What do we got now?
Well, we're going to go with kind of our recap of what our favorite moments were for Fight Show's 2013 recap. And we got categories, and we're just going to kind of go off top of the head. So Fighter of the Year, who do you got?
Fighter of the Year.
Fighter of the Year.
Well, I mentioned Ronda Rousey, Chris Weidman, and you said that they've only fought twice.
No, that's fine. No. Well, Ronda Rousey fought twice, and that's fine. Hey, that's great.
Weidman fought three times.
I think so. I'm pretty sure he fought Mark Munoz this year,
but
too.
But the two, oh, my God, that was a devastating ass whipping for him. That was great. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, he beat the unstoppable
Anderson Silva twice. Yep. I am going to say Vitor Belfort.
Okay.
If you knock out Michael Bisping with the head kick, back kick, which I thought was one of the KOs of the year, spinning back kick on Luke Rockhold, and then you're the first man to stop Dan Henderson. Yeah, the TRT talk and all that, but just in the ring or in the cage, that was the most impressive for me. But then you also got guys like Demetrius Johnson, who defended the belt three times this year, and knocked out Joseph Benavidez in the first round of those three. You know what I mean? So
Vitor. I like Vitor. I'm going to have to go with him now, just based on the information you've shared with us.
That's who I'm going to go with. How about, do you got a fight of the year?
It's just because it's in recent memory. I kind of like that Mark Hunt and Bigfoot Silva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one.
I liked it a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. It was a fantastic fight.
I'm going to go with Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler.
That was a humdinger as
well.
That
was a good one.
Dang.
With Diego Sanchez versus Gilbert Melendez, a really close second. The only reason why I picked Eddie Alvarez versus Mike Chandler over that fight is it was a more competitive fight. The Diego and Gilbert Melendez fight, even though it was competitive, I felt like Gilbert was winning every moment of the fight except for that one time he got dropped.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. So I felt like it was an ass-whipping, but it was inspiring to see Diego kind of Bobby Volcker-ish, keep going forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with the Chandler and Alvarez fight, you didn't know who won. And a lot of people think that they picked the wrong winner. Yeah. Eddie Alvarez won the fight. A lot of people think Mike Chandler won it.
Well,
so,
we'll see a third there.
Oh, definitely.
And Bellator, too.
So. Yeah, Bellator. So that was my fight of the year. Do you have a knockout of the year?
No, not off the top of my head. No. I mean,
I mentioned it. That's why I brought it up, is the Vitor Belfort spinning back kick on Luke Rockhold.
I thought that was great too. But it was a bunch of good ones.
Well,
man.
Uriah Hall's was this year on The Ultimate Fighter when he did his spinning back kick, and
I guess that Sella.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah, that was really scary. A lot of people and our friend Zach Cummings was in the house and saw that live, and he was disturbed by it, right. I think, as well.
And another really good knockout that I think people forget about is the King Mo getting knocked out by the hardcore kid Manuel Newton.
Yeah,
that spinning back fist.
Fist.
Yeah, that just stunned him and made him go stiff as he was.
That
standing
was a
there.
Big surprise too in Bellator. Yeah. Of course, the rematch is a little bit of a stink burger, but we're going to have to wrap it up for 2013.
Yes, next show will be 2014.
That's going to do it for the year. Upcoming fights, January 15th, UFC Fight Night 35, Jason High back in action, the Kansas City Bandit, and January 25th, of course, at the Truman Memorial Building in Independence. Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9 that takes place.
We'll be there.
Have a safe and happy New Year's Eve and New Year. And we'll see you next year on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.